Who is wise and understanding among you? Let them show it by their good life, by deeds done and the humility that comes from wisdom. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but it is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. This is the word of the Lord. All right, you may be seated. Some of you got distracted because I brought a lightsaber on the stage. We're really talking about two kinds of wisdom. That's what the scripture is. This is a lightsaber that I have. Oh, Levi, what? Man, there we go. This is Levi's creation. Okay, so Levi makes these things and the wiring. And in the sermon, I was working about this because it talks about the two kinds of wisdom. Star Wars. You guys know Star Wars, right? I'm old enough that I knew, what was the first movie called? No, yeah, that you're young, okay, if you call it New Hope. If you're older, what do we call it? Star Wars. It was Star Wars. That's all we knew. You know, like, that's Star Wars. Then the next one was Empire Strikes Back. I'm going to have to turn this off because it's going to make too much noise. Come on. What am I doing? Levi, I forget what I'm doing. Sorry. Take it from me because I don't know how to turn the sound off. Levi will do a battle with you afterwards. He makes these, by the way, with the sound effects. Thank you for turning that off. Remember the scene, this lightsaber battle. Yoda teaching Luke. Empire Strikes Back. So number two movie. And the old people, number two movie. Now what is it? It's number five, I think. Yeah, something like that. I lose track of it because they did the three in the middle and then they went back. And so I'm used to number two. And he had a battle with that. The battle of the lightsaber. And Yoda has this teaching. There's almost two paths you get to go. You can go to the, which side? The dark side. Beware of the dark side. And I love that because when I was reading this, all I could imagine was Star Wars. Like, which wisdom are you going to choose? Are you going to go the dark way or are you going to go the light way? Are you going to choose which battle? And now we're not in Star Wars, I understand, is much more Hindu, Buddhist kind of philosophy. We don't have this equal thing of the good side and the bad side, and they're trying to battle it all out. It is, God is the good, and there is nothing else. But we do have this capacity to make a decision of which direction we are going to go. There is a path. And so James talks about here, who is wise? Let them know it by their good life, because there's two kinds of wisdom, which way you're going to go. Now, James, as we've already been covering, is a very practical book. He's talking about all these ways that your faith is showing outside. So the danger side is it could be legalism. If we're going to look at the outside, are you just trying to say I have to look a certain way or dress a certain way or do this or do that or whatever actions? Our outside is important. Our actions are important, but they come from within. So I'm always careful of that because we all know the people who say they're Christians. I do it. I'm gonna put the sticker on the back of my car, and then they cut you off. Okay, you know. So we want to have our actions reflect what we really are in loving Jesus. And so James begins this tackle of how is your faith looking like? How is it seen? What is the outward sign of it? If we just have it inward, if we just keep it inside, I'm a Christian, but nobody can know it. In fact, I heard that one time. I had one guy, we were talking about this thing. He says, I never want to talk about Jesus. I figure if I live in such a way, they're going to know it. I go, well, there's a little bit more than that. They should kind of hear and see that you're different. But James over and over tackles that. So last week, Levi talked about the words, you know, how our words reflect that, and how can we tame this tongue. And how can we pour words that are life-giving versus destructive? This week is talking a little deeper about two different kinds of wisdom. I'm covering a section where James talks about the good life. In fact, that's the title of this message, The Good Life. It was based on a book recently that I read within the last year called The Good Life. If you want to pick it up, you can Google it, order it on Amazon. It was dealing with a Harvard study about what gives happiness in life. It was fascinating. It's one of the longest studies they've ever done, 84 years. And they tracked these people through life from young childhood all the way down to their old in multiple generations. And they answer a question, not from a Christian background, but what would give you a good life? And I'm going to sum it up, so maybe save you the money or save you from buying it. It comes down to relationships. People who have deep, lasting friendships and deep relationships have a good life. And they walk through these people who have everything. It looks like they have it all. They have everything. They have the great job. They've got the great car. They've got the great house. But they did not have it relationships, and they were not happy. So there's two lives to choose, which way we're going to go. James is going to speak to the followers of Christ. And let's look in here. Just keep that Bible open. Two paths they're going to show. First of all, he starts off with this little sandwich, okay? So we're going to look at this. Who is wise and understanding, let him see their good life. Then it goes down to the negative side. But if you harbor bitter envy and selfish ambition, it goes to the negative side. And then the last section in verse 17 and 18, it goes back again to what does a good life look like? Because our path, if we anchor our actions in showing Christ in our living faith, do it in humility, and humility coming from leaning into God, we will have the good life. We align our life according to God's ways. And so James will talk about this whole point here. Spiritual formation is decided daily or hourly as we determine which wisdom we are going to embrace. That really comes down to it. Our formation, how we are reformed according to this world, when we embrace Jesus Christ in his way, his wisdom. So let's just think of it this way. Am I going to embrace servanthood and care and love and concern of others, or am I going to embrace self-centeredness? We are all slightly self-centered, okay? Can you all commit? Who is selfish at times? Okay, I just want to see. Thank you. For those that didn't raise your hand, you are lying, okay? I will see even as a kid. I'm the oldest of five. Come on. I'm the oldest. If you're in a family and you cut the piece of cake, which piece as a kid do you want? Thank you very much. I want the biggest. I still, every once in a while, like, can I have the biggest piece? I mean, that looks really good. The selfishness within me wants the biggest piece. We all want the biggest piece of the pie. Now, not if it's something we don't want. I'm really unselfish then. Whoa, yeah, great. You can have some more of this. I don't really care about olives, you know. You can have all my olives. I'm very selfless then because I don't want them. But when it comes to custard pie or rice pudding, Nancy made rice pudding yesterday. Oh, my word. I just love that kind of stuff. I am very selfish. Let me take the whole bowl and I'll just eat it all, just out of the mixing bowl, just with one thing at a time. And so there, our spiritual formation comes when we choose which wisdom we want to go. James is talking in this passage about those two paths of wisdom, self-centered or Jesus-centered. Self-centered, I'm number one, you're number two. I have really eclectic movie tastes, so there's the Muppet, a caper, I can't remember what it's called, the mystery one where there was a bad Kermit and a good Kermit, and there is a song that you can watch on there. Please do it afterwards, not right now during the service. But it is a time where I'm number one, you're number two. And it is the most hilarious song, whatever. And I think that fits so much of what we think. I'm number one, you're number two. That's the one path versus a Jesus-centered path. And so James is talking to us. It's easy to say, oh, this world is full of selfish people. But he's talking to the church. He's talking to us here. And he says, show me your good life by your deeds, and let's see it in how you treat people. The good life, let's start with that first thing again. 13, who is wise and understanding among you, let them show it by their good life, by deeds done in humility that comes from wisdom. The good life is reflected in deeds done in humility. And so a Christ-like action done with a Christ-like attitude will lead to the good life. That's what he simply says. If you do these actions with humility, and we all want the good life. We all want it. We all want a life that's good, don't we? Come on. You want things to go great, not things to go lousy. Sometimes we were talking about it this week because Levi had one of those weeks. You know those one of those weeks? I'm sorry to pick on you, Levi, but man, he had one of those weeks. If it could go wrong, it would go wrong. Laptop motherboard died. The car wouldn't start. The battery. It was like a lot of things. So it was. We all remember those, right? You've had one of those weeks before. Like everything goes wrong. The same week, the fridge goes out. Your car. You'll get a flat tire, and I'll get sick. And then we have to figure something out. And everything is going wrong. We want the good life. Now, our world is pushing the good life. If we, and just watch social media, if you could just go to the Maldives and sleep in an overwater bungalow, come on, that is the good life. And you can do it all on points. And let me show you the 6 ways to do it. So you use your points and you go on the over bungalow, and this is the good life. See, look at it, we're sitting here, we're relaxing. That's the good life, right? It's the good life. I get to go to this and whisk off to here. The world is trying to, and it's that carefully curated scene that tried to tell us this is the good life. Now, of course, there's no hint of character. There's no hint of relationships. And it's what we want, that good life. We want something. And James starts off with that whole point. He says, I'm going to show you the good life if you do it, deeds done in humility that comes from God's wisdom. And he'll flesh that out in the end of this. And then he transitions over to that next section. But I always hate those kind of phrases, right? But if you harbor bitter envy, selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, demonic. Now, he really ramps that up pretty fast. Wow. Our actions and our attitudes can lead us down a different path, a self-defeating loop that ends with oneself. Or, if I could have had that lightsaber again, Luke, you're going down the dark side. You're going to go down that dark way. That one path leads us toward envy, leads us toward selfish ambition. It becomes the me-centered way. And I encourage, we all battle. That's why the power of community, of coming together. There's a lot of, can I just truly confess, even as a pastor, at times I'd say, man, could I just sleep in? Hey, Andy, it's Sunday morning. You got to be there, okay? You know, as a pastor, I want to sleep in. But we just say, I'm going to be a part of something. That me-centered is so easy to drift down. And if we're dishonest, he actually talks about the lying to ourselves, the self-awareness side. If we're dishonest with ourselves, unwilling to admit that those selfish thoughts even exist. You see that? This is, hey, if you're there, don't boast about it or deny the truth. It's there. Yeah, I need it. I am, but I need to respond and understand it and step back into God. In fact, I think this is why community is so important, why we have to be in deep community, the people that know us. Our Thursday night, we're starting to, I feel like we're getting there. And we're starting to know one another, that we can kind of be real. When you all need a sense of community, of followers of Christ that you can be real with, that you can just say, man, this week stinks. Or I'm full of doubts right now. Or why is this happening? And the people will love you still and push you toward Jesus. So we're still working that way. That's our ultimate goal, that we are in a place that we have friendships, that people will care for us and know us. Because it's in community, deep community, where we're safe to be authentic, to be challenged and anchored in love. It helps us to be aware of ourselves. Now, to be challenged, I put it in there, because challenge is sometimes saying, hey, Andy, you're really off target on that one. I think this is the way of Jesus. You're not that way, because it isn't just embracing whatever you want. It's saying, I'm going to push you in an area. Andy, you're really being selfish there. Or Andy, you're really being irritable right there. And trust me, I have those moments. And our community teaches that, because it is so hard for us to even realize when we're that way. James is just attacking that over and over again. What is your attitude? What is your attitude? And so the wisdom that is preached, I need to take care of myself. There was many years ago, a young guy who we knew, we were in youth group together, or we were the youth pastors, so this is a few years ago, and he was a teenager. He and his wife got married, and a few years down the road, he just decided, I'm going to leave her, because I need to think of myself. That was his thing. Now it's my time. It was actually, I've never heard anybody say it quite so blatant that way. Like, yeah, I think right now I need to just think about me. Now, most people coin it in another way, broken relationship, but he just simply said, no, I need my time and I don't want to give it to you. I want it all about my pleasure. Like, he admitted it, which is pretty amazing. That is the reality of all of us, that sometimes we want to go that route. And so I want this church, but I want it my way. I hate these colors. I'm sorry. You know, Anthony, you loved orange. Okay, I'm just, that orange, I know that was great. But we all said it's time for the orange to go. And everybody said it can be orange, but we're not going to do maroon. As long as you don't paint a maroon, we're safe. But if you go, oh, hey, there's no orange in the lobby. I'm done. That's it. First of all, I'd have to check your mind. Okay, but you know, but there is that way. I am unhappy. I don't like the music. I don't like the way it went. I don't like the preaching. Yep, thank you very much. So, God forbid we're 10 minutes too long. Man, I missed my lunch. Or nobody smiled at me, or somebody sat in my chair, or this or that, or whatever. Or these kids were too loud, or those babies were crying, or whatever. That's all selfishness in our way. And we say, I want it my way. And God calls us into something different. So let's go back to this part, verse 17. But the wisdom that comes from heaven. So this is what his line is. He says, that's your wisdom, you're going there. It's envy, it's selfishness, selfish ambition. It's all about you. But the wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure. Then peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit. Impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace reap a harvest of righteousness. So he returns to this. And you notice, when you start reading these things, what kind of things do they look like? They're all dealing with our relationships with one another, aren't they? Most of it is submissive. Man, I'm going to be considerate. Oh, yeah. You can have the big piece. No, you can have that special. You can have that parking spot. Years ago, a pastor, when I was in college, I was attending a church. And I'd never forgotten it because I worked with a youth pastor, and I learned somewhere in that setting, he said, as pastors and leaders, we try to park the farthest away from the front door as possible. And I'm going to walk all the way because I want the good spot. That's why you'll never see at this church a sign that says reserved for pastor, okay? Because mine is as far as I can figure is the garbage can, okay? So that's where I always try to park, way over there on Sundays. And it's a little mental thing for me to say, Andy, I don't need to have it all my way. I want to be considerate of others. And when you read these factors, you see the characteristics that relate. We relate with one another, how we treat one another. There's a couple of quotes I want to read in here. In fact, it's fascinating. Out of that good book, the Good Life book that I shared, it's by Waldinger and Schultz. In fact, good relationships are significant enough that if we had to take all 84 years of the Harvard study and boil it down to a single principle for living, one life investment that is supported by similar findings across a wide variety of other studies, it would be this: good relationships keep us healthier and happier. The best investment you can make, it's not in NVIDIA. It's not an Apple stock. It's in relationships. And James is saying, I'm going to give you the wisdom. The wisdom you have is pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy, all these ways that we interact with each other. In fact, God has given us the church. I'm going to use a big C, the church. This community and the smaller communities around us, because we need relationships. And when you center that on our faith in Jesus Christ, it is life-giving. When people come in and say, I have missed you. I said that to Julie this week. I've missed you. She said, it's only been one Sunday. I said, yeah, but I've missed you. I didn't talk to you last time. You know, I've missed what you are valuable here. And when you're gone, sometimes it's hard to notice that somebody's not here until you go, wow, I haven't talked to you a couple weeks. I said that to you this morning. I said, man, it's been a bit. Where are you, Bertie? Oh, I've been gone. And somebody works, and we just need one another. I need your smiles. I need your encouragement. I need your faith. We're in this together. And sometimes it's a hard day, and you call up, and you say, wow, things are miserable today. Can you pray with me? Like Nancy had a call this or a message this morning from somebody. Would you pray for me? We need to be that for each other. All these studies as well as our own Harvard study, he put in there, bear witness to the importance of human connections. They show that people who are more connected to family, to friends, and to community are happier and physically healthier than people who are less well-connected. Relationships are not just essential as stepping stones to other things. You don't just network to have a better business plan. They are simply a functional route to health and happiness. They are ends in themselves. Or as the old Turkish proverb says, no road is long with good company. That's a great quote. No road is long with good company. James is going to give us some practical advice here. He says, I'm going to tell you, here's the wisdom. It's going to be pure. We're going to live a right way. And we're going to be peace-loving. We're going to love one another. Boy, as a church right here, can we be peace-loving? Can we be peace-loving in a culture that wants to fight about everything, that wants to be mad about everything, that wants to be irritable about everything, and wants to fight about everything, and if they don't want to fight, sometimes they'll start a fight. Let's be peace-loving people. Let's be considerate. There's a lot of different opinions in here. There's a lot of different opinions in this room. Plenty about politics, about music, about style of music. Some people even like, how many even like country music? Can I just see a hand here? Man, there is some of you. Look at that. I know, there's one waving back here. I mean, more power to you. I cannot stand country music. Cannot stand it. But how many of you like opera? Come on, thank you very much. By the way, we have a trained opera singer over here, so she's trying out. I actually learned to like opera when our middle daughter started doing it. I thought opera was the most boring thing in the world until, oh, that's not that bad. Now, don't worry, I'm not picking it up as a hobby for myself personally, but we all have different tastes. And second Sunday in December, we'll have our chili competition cook-off again. Some of that chili is, I know who's going to win. I know who's going to try to win. I know all these things. And some of you don't like my moose chili, but it's going to go. You know, we're going to do whatever it takes. And we all have different tastes. There's lots of opinions. And those are just the funny things. But there's an opinion about every political issue out there, like I've talked about. Somebody will have an opinion on how to solve it. How do you solve poverty? How do you solve homelessness? How do you solve school situations? How do you solve? There's so many opinions. Let's be considerate with one another. Let's be kind and gentle. Submissive simply means I don't always get my own way. I don't get my own way. And I'm just going to submit my will to you. I'm going to submit my heart and my desires. I really want, it isn't about me. It isn't about me. There's sometimes kids are loud, okay? Not this one. Never. Last night we had some Joe and Alexis over for dinner, and the kids, Penelope and Oliver, were in good, normal form, okay? So, relatively loud. And they wanted to pull out, they're gamers, and so they pulled out a game, and I took Penelope, that cute little granddaughter of ours, and I just said, I'm going to take her. I'm going to submit. I love playing Splendor. I love playing games. But I decided I'm going to take her. I'll wash the dishes. You guys have some time because somebody's got to do it. And now trust me, I'm not a saint, okay? In fact, when it comes to the dirty diaper, I'll say, here, Peg, take it on, you know. I'll hold her when she's there on Thursday nights. I love it. But when she's cranky, you know, I'm passing it on. I'm not going to fight through that, okay? So my submissiveness has a line. But that is just us giving and caring and loving one another. Sometimes we just go out of our way to sit down and have a dinner and conversation and talk to people. And let me hear what your stories are. I love hearing people's stories of how they came to faith. You know, we all care. And let us be considerate with one another. I was going to embarrass him, but I'll call it out. You know, Jason, you know, he's back there. He comes early every Sunday that he's here, helps us set up the tables, puts the signs out. I mean, he helps so much. He brings the donuts and kolaches, by the way. He brings that, okay? So I know he's not asking for credit, and I just embarrassed him. But that's the kind of attitude we all have. Like, whoa, no, Jason, you're not on donut duty. I'm buying the donuts next week. Jimmy has last minute done it more than once, just picked up the donuts for us, and I'll do it. But if we all had that attitude, hey, you're not allowed to bring donuts, I'm buying them this week. Imagine what the church would be like. No, don't clean up the chairs. I'll deal with it this week. Oh, no. What? You want somebody to hold the baby? I'll take the baby. I will do whatever. You need the chairs moved? I'll be there. Who's going to vacuum the carpet? Yeah, that's another one. But we all come together when we have that attitude. So I call you out because I think it's great. You have a great heart of servitude. But that's a model for all of us to say, what can I do? And I believe as a church we do. Because it doesn't take much when we have our common table and we pull out the round tables and everybody sets stuff up and tears it down. You do so well. But that is what God calls us to. And there will be times that will be tested. You'll say, why are we doing Summer Moon Coffee now? I like the Texas Traders, you know. Well, so what? Because he works at Summer Moon. And we're going to have Summer Moon Coffee as long as he's working there. And we love it. I mean, that's kindness when we care for one another. When we just say, I'm going to be impartial, I'm going to be sincere, I'm going to treat you with dignity. That is the two kinds of wisdom. When we live our life, the good life, I'm going to tell you when it will come. It'll come when we live our relationships as Jesus wants us to. Let us be different than our world. Let us figure out how to make peace, how to not always get our way. Let us care for one another and love one another. That means sometimes calling people up and you haven't seen them and say, how are you doing? How can I pray for you? How can I support you? How can I encourage you? How can I bring you a meal when you're down? How can I help you out when you're upset? I have had so many times in life that people have done that for me. Sometimes giving me resources when we didn't have out of job, or somebody bringing food when we were like patients 6 and 7 in our county with COVID back in the day. Remember when everybody thought you were going to die and people would bring us food and they just cared for us. And you on the receiving end of that, it's humbling. But it's important for us as a church just to be that kind of people. And so we need to be the people of the community of God that God wants us to. The power of relationships. And it really is a side benefit. I know that that book, The Good Life, is not based on Christianity. It's not based on faith whatsoever. But they tapped into something that's a side benefit of what the church is to be like. Full of community. We love one another. That we care for. And so our actions and deeds show our faith. And that's where we're going to end today. Okay? So, we got some more stuff going on next week, but James is going to challenge you, live in such a way. It means with your siblings, okay, I'm talking to you over here. It means your family members. It means the people around you, that we care for one another. Now what? So here's my last thing, just going to end with this. So now what? Three little things. One, embrace community. Embrace community. I know we finished a series, but I want to encourage you, community. Find a community group. If you are interested and like in a different part of the city, because we're having a meeting at our house out in Drip, these guys, there's one meeting at the church. I know I've had conversations with some of you. You can message me or email me and say, yes, I've got to get in community. I want to find community, and especially toward the south side. We would love to get another group that is committed, and we'll figure it out. Message me, email me, or through my cell phone today. We'll plan a meeting in December when we can sit together and just talk about it. So embrace community. Be a part of it. 2, ask God right now to illuminate your actions. Okay? This is a little more practical. How do they lie on the spectrum of selfishness and servanthood? Okay? This is just for you to pause for a moment. Let that sink in. How do your actions fit in that spectrum? Today? Tomorrow? Where are you at? Let the Holy Spirit speak to you. Sometimes those that are closest to us know us better. So if you're thinking you're all great, ask the people that are real close to you, you know, a family member, the same question, how do they lie? And they probably will have you very different than what you perceive yourself, okay? How do they lie? Selfishness or servanthood? God calls us to serve one another. And 3, and this is an action, step into your role in making this church a relational healing community. If you're hurt in relationships, you're healed in relationships. So if a church has hurt you, if people have done things in the name of Jesus have hurt you, this is a place that we're going to be different. And we're going to show that the followers of Jesus Christ are going to be different, and we're going to live in such a way that people will see we're authentic, we're flawed. Trust me, we're going to make some mistakes. Almost every Sunday I go, why did I say that, Andy? Why did you say that? You know, I will offend you. I will say something like, what a knucklehead, you know. Why did I say that? But let's be a place that is real, and I will try to say I'm sorry. I'll just try to do it, you know. And let's be that kind of place that just loves one another. Can you look out of here and say, how can we make this a church, a relational healing church? Man, we missed you. We loved you. Tell your appreciation to somebody. Thank them. Put your arms around them. And say, man, I am so grateful. I'm so grateful for the gifts that are here, the people that served to fix this and painted. I can't even wait for Christmas for Jonah and Melissa to paint, decorate for Christmas because it's going to look awesome, you know. I love people who have gifts of talent and, you know, those kind of things to make it look good. I would make it look ugly. Are you kidding? I have no designing capacity. But I'm so grateful for that. So let's show our appreciation and be a relational healing church. And God is going to give you one step today, okay? In fact, just pause right now. Close your eyes where you're at. Right here in this moment, I'm going to have Levi come. I want this time just to be a moment where the Holy Spirit speaks to you. God speaks through the prophetic, through others sometimes, but he also can speak to you directly. And I think it's important for us just to wait for a moment. Some of these are cerebral, you know, how do I thinking about where I lie in that spectrum, but I also want you to feel it. If this morning even, you stepped out and were selfish, complaining in your mind about something, maybe it's in a relationship, maybe it's within the service of the church, maybe it's in whatever interaction you have, I want you to feel that. And I want the Spirit to begin to speak to you. There's two kinds of wisdom, he says. One is oriented toward relationship, being a full of a healing community. Community that's led by Jesus, where Jesus has welcomed people in. He said to the one woman who was caught in adultery, neither do I condemn you, go leave your life of sin. He just embraced her and said, changed and transformed. You're loved, you're welcome home. Maybe you've heard words and heard condemnation coming from somewhere else, and you need to find healing within this relationship, within this community. Know that God loves you. Let's let the Spirit begin to speak to you. Lord, I know we joke about it, but there is corners of me still that are selfish. And I really want to be selfless. I want to be the Jesus kind of person. And it's how it's going to be shown in how I treat other people. And Lord, sometimes I'm distracted and sometimes I'm impatient. I pray that you build something within me, that my heart and my faith, my belief and my trust in you will be seen in how I treat each person. Each person here, each person I interact with during work or throughout the week in a store, as we interact with people in school, wherever you are leading us, God, would you begin to just stir something within us that today we will say, I'm going to choose this kind of wisdom. I'm not going to go the dark side. And help me to see when I am, Lord. I'm going to be aware of it. I'm going to have people around me that show me when I'm drifting off. And Lord, help us in our faith to become more and more anchored in you. Lord, as we are formed into people of God. Jesus, stir us. Stir us, God. Forgive me, Lord, when I fail. Restore me to right relationships and guide us. Why don't you just stand to your feet here right now, and I'm going to have Levi just lead us in worship. And I want you just to worship the Lord. Make these your words. I'm going to have some of our prayer people come forward. And just if you have a need, just know you're not alone. It could be big, small. Just find one of them to pray with you. And they'll believe with you or pray for you. But if there's something you need, you're not here alone, okay? You're not here alone. So Levi, lead us and respond in prayer, and I'll close this in a moment.
I choose this day to be grateful. I give you praise with an open heart. Oh, I'm waking up to heaven.
Lord, we thank you. Thank you for what you've done in our hearts, that we've experienced you. Lord, maybe somebody is here today that has never yet made that decision, never made that first step of journey to follow you. Lord, may it be today. Lord, even right now, as I'm talking, may they just reach out within their heart, within their soul to say, I need you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. I want to start that journey. I want to encourage you to do it if you need to. find one of us afterwards and just talk to us and we'll pray with you, even more specific. But just make a decision to say, Lord, I need you. And so, Lord, we reach out to you. We need you. And so, God, stir something within us so deeply that we may become the people of God, the people of Jesus, that just show grace toward one another and love one another and embrace one another and genuinely care for one another. That we pry appropriately because we're concerned for one another. That we reach out and look for people in need. That we serve one another. We're considerate with one another. We have peace with one another. Lord, help us to be that kind of people. Help us to choose that way. The Jesus way. Lord, stir us now in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hey, hold out your hands. Let me just pray a blessing upon you. May the Lord God and all his rich mercies and grace pour his spirit and embrace you with his love and compassion.